Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For those watching on Twitter and Facebook, welcome to Chicken Smoot. We have changed up the our modus operandi tonight. Normally, we come from Augie's in Old Town Alexandria, but tonight we're coming from home. A lot of different things went into that. Obviously, night game as well. We're going to do a post game show, so do not worry. We'll be on the post game show as soon as that game's over. But Fred Smoot is here. Our producer, Amish Lightfoot Fenwick, is yep. in the house. Now, Fred, you didn't see this before. We did a little test run earlier, and apparently, I think Amish's fiance might have done something with the screen, so he had fake eyebrows, and he removed them since. I thought it would have been funny to see him.
I had some good eyebrows, I can't lie.
That's how you know you got new love, chick. When you still letting your girl, your woman play with your eyebrows and stuff like that, that's when you know you got new love. See, we veterans to this love stuff, chick. Your wife ain't played with your eyebrows for decades.
No chance. She has no idea what I do for a living, by the way. I called Georgetown Marquette last night for CBS Sports Network, and I'll give my wife props. She was texting me during the second half going, "You're doing really good." So I give her props for that. But generally, three kids that live in this house right now because of COVID have no idea that I was gone. That's ridiculous.
Come on, you got grown kids, chick. These are not 10-year-olds. These are people with lives in a cell phone, in cable, in other stuff. Right?
Yeah. They're grown kids who are living in my house and
COVID.
Eating my food.
COVID.
Yeah, they're not working. Someone's providing for them, okay? Someone is providing for them.
Hey, stop all that crying. If you do all the crying, what the baby gonna do? Just tired of it.
Good point. So, boys, we got ourselves this is a playoff game. This is a playoff game. Right, mm-hmm. You win, you're in. You lose, you're out. And it's hard to believe at this point. Think about this for a second. What we have here tonight is the possibility that a starting quarterback nearly died 2 years ago, nearly lost his leg, will lead this team. And if things don't go particularly well for him and his bad calf and Alex Smith, then a guy who was studying mathematics at Old Dominion University be the quarterback that tries to lead them to the playoffs the first time 2015. You can't make this shit up.
Right? Hey, listen. See, this is why people from the ghetto like myself don't believe that we ever get props. We'll get props because guess what happened when I walked to the store in the ghetto? I almost died. Guess what happened when I went down the street in the ghetto? How'd you almost die? Weekly, you almost die. But when you make it out of there, you just get things are no harder. Once he made it past the surgeries, that's when life got harder for Alex. Once he made it past the surgery, now it was about, does he want to play the game? Because he could have just said, you know what? Y'all owe me $70 million. I'm just going to sit back and get it. He said, no, I want to play. And coach saw it earlier than everybody. He said, you know what? If we get a guy like Alex in here with the talent we got, we can go to the playoffs. Everybody early said he was wrong. I was one of those people like, Let him. He knows something that we don't know.
Right. All right. So as I said, I was going to tell you guys, and you guys know this, but our viewing audience does not. So our guest tonight is Jason Campbell, who has already chimed in here. So let's bring him in.
He's a quarterback. Oh, he's always on time.
Always on time. Let me find him. He's there. Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
Uh-oh.
There we go. He does have he has an outdated haircut, and I don't know how good his haircut goes with technology.
Well, first off, he's sideways. What the hell,
Jason?
He's
from Mississippi. Give him a chance. He's from Mississippi. Hold up.
We got two Mississippi guys here.
Turn it the other way. Jay, turn it the other way.
Two Mississippi guys. Oh, Lord.
This is too good.
How many Mississippi guys does it take to perform a Zoom?
Jay,
turn it the other way. Jay, turn it the other way. You sideways.
Jason, can you hear us?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Can you hear us? Let's see. Can you hear me now? There you go. Yeah, yes. There he is.
Ooh, that Rick Ross glistening over there.
I always had to turn the other way for the other shows.
Oh, the other shows. He's a very busy man, Jason Campbell. No question. So we're live on Facebook and Twitter. For those who don't know this man, Jason Campbell, first-round pick in 2005 out of Auburn, played 4 years in Washington, two in Oakland, one in Chicago, one in Cleveland, one in Cincinnati. Had a chance to get to the playoffs with the Burgundy and Gold, but got injured. And a guy named Todd Collins was the guy. That didn't work out so well. Jason, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, I'm doing great. You know, can't complain. Ready to watch this game tonight. Just kind of watch some really good football games today. So, you know, it's a very relaxing Sunday.
Well, Jason, I gave you some props when we signed one Dwayne Haskins. And I was on the radio and I was talking to people and I said, I think he needs to sit down and have a face-to-face with Jason Campbell. And they were like, why Jason Campbell? Because I said, I know one thing Jason knows how to do. He knows the professional side of being a quarterback. You know how to be what I call, you're a politician. You know how to be a politician. You know how to politic. You know when to be a place. You know when not to be a place. If we could rewind time back 3 months, and you had a sit down 2 days in a row with Haskins, what would you tell Haskins?
Yeah, I would tell Haskins, man, like you don't understand the importance of the position that you're playing. You know, you got to embrace this opportunity. Like, you're an African American quarterback, you're in the nation's capital. You know, I understand this is where you grew up at, but you got to set that to the side. You got to understand that, hey, you got to figure out like how to get your teammates to believe in you and how to get them to rally, how you rally your troops around you. And how you do that, man, it's so much about your actions. Like, your words can say so much, but what you do speaks volumes to your teammates. Like, if they see you putting in the work out the practice, if they see you studying hard, they see you win or lose, if they see you putting forth your best foot effort, they gonna ride with you. I said, but they feel like that you're not, you know, reaching out to these guys. And, you know, you can't just be a quarterback and just like sit in a room by yourself. You got to be able to talk to all your teammates, like all the way down to the kickers. You got to have a relationship with everyone. And I always try to make sure that when I was playing ball that I had a relationship with everyone. That's why I still talk to a lot of guys now. But I also would tell him, like, hey, you know, make sure that you're coachable. And what I mean by that is you're still a young guy. Like, you have Alex in the room. Like, gravitate to some of the things that he's been through and utilize it as a mentor, because, you know, he only had 1 year at Ohio State. And a lot of that year was a lot of success. And what he didn't understand is the first time he really hit adversity was in Washington. And he couldn't understand, you know, how to deal with some of the losing. He couldn't understand, like, when you're a big target in that city, when you don't win, like, everyone comes for the quarterback. But you got to be able to channel that in and be able to say, hey, I got to be able to block the outside noise and focus on what's in the locker room and focus on what I need to do to improve as a player to help my team win on Sunday. Regardless of what's going on around me, I got to make sure that I do my part. And I think he didn't have the right people in his ear. I just feel like he needed that mentor and that kind of the people that can talk to him. I just feel like he didn't have that.
I knew it was over, Jay, when I seen the plaits in his head. Like, listen, it's just certain things, quarterback, like, it's only one Lamar Jackson. Like, it's always going to be this one person that can kind of bend the wheel. But you also got to take on the identity of your city. Baltimore is greedy. The Wire was shot in Baltimore. They don't care about their quarterbacks having plaits in their head. But this is Washington, D.C. And when I saw that, they just told me that he ain't focused on being a leader of these guys. He's focused on being one of them. And I knew that's when it was going to go sideways.
Yeah, I'm talking about you, a quarterback. Yeah, go ahead, Chick.
I'm saying he was more focused on being a brand than being a quarterback in the National Football League, which is what we saw. We saw him the first game he won. What's he doing before the game's over, taking a selfie? I mean, what? You're an NFL player, dude. What are you doing? I get it, you're young, but you can't do that. And so here we are. It's a game that is they can win and get in, and we're talking about Dwayne Haskins, who's no longer on this team, Jason. This guy was waived on Monday, cleared waivers, waivers. Nobody's like, nah, we're good, because they've seen what's on tape. They've heard, blah, blah, blah. And we're still talking about Dwayne Haskins when the Burgundy and Gold have a game tonight. Do you think that Haskins, me and Fred, and by the way, if you don't know Jason, that's Cy in the top corner there. He's our producer, Cy Fenwick. We call him
he's Amish.
The Amish man.
He ride a horse, not actually Amish.
All right.
Yes. He's got a
horse and buggy. This is not an Amish beard. What is this? Like what?
Oh, this is Andrew Luck right there. This is a totally different.
How? How? I don't understand.
He does look like Andrew Luck.
Oh no. Oh Lord.
You got to talk out of your chest. So here we are. Do you think that Dwayne Haskins and me, I was going to say that me and Fred have been in his corner for a great portion of his career, and we desperately wanted him to do well this year when he got the chance. That did not take place, and he kind of proved to us he doesn't have the mettle right now. He's got physical talents out the wazoo. Got that. But he doesn't have the mental capacity right now to just take the job the way it's supposed to be. Do you think – I think he deserves a third chance. I'll say third. But do you think that if he does have the right people in his corner, that he can be a bona fide quarterback in this league?
Well, I say this, Chick. I say, for Dwayne, this is a time that he needs to look himself in the mirror and see, like, exactly what are the things he did wrong and be honest with himself. Like, don't, let someone try to sugarcoat you or, try to do things to make you feel emotionally good about, where you're at right now. No, you should look yourself in the mirror and say, a lot of this is self-inflicted. Like you can't control a lot of things that went through last season, coaching changes and everything, but a lot of stuff that he got in trouble for was off the field. And some of the things that you hear about, just want to stay out, not staying out to practice or, not engaging with teammates and, just getting in trouble, breaking some of the rules. Like as a quarterback, you're always held to a different standard. And, yes, you can't be like the DBs. Fred would say, DBs are a little wild. Wide receivers are a little wild. Everybody else on the team, they can do some of those things, but you are looked at differently. You are a CEO pretty much of a football team. And hopefully, he looks at this and say, hey, I got to mature in a lot of areas of my life, because a lot of the things he did were just strictly from immaturity. And not having those people, like I said before, in his corner, being honest with him. You can have a lot of yes people around you, but if you don't have someone to tell you, like, hey, man, you need to, like, really step it up. Like, you need to, things you're doing, it's going to hurt you more than
just like
help
I did you,
you
Jason. And when I seen you stepping out of line and we was in the locker room and you had on them wrestling drawers, I pulled you to the side and I said, you can't do that. Not as our leader. You can't do that. All right. And after that, what did you do? You left them drawers.
Jason, how did you deal with this guy? How did you deal with this guy as your teammate?
Hey, you got to have a ton of vision when you're dealing with Fred. What I'm saying? You got to know who you're talking to and what you're dealing with. Like Fred was handing out all kind of awards during the season. He stand beside the bus and look at people come on the bus with what kind of suit they got on. They got a dead man suit on. Or they got a suit for Arsenio Hall or something. He always cracking jokes on folks. He made football fun though. I say this: you got to have teammates like Fred on the team, because when you're going through some rough times, you got to be able to laugh. And I think Fred did a great job of keeping
he does
team,
do a good job of that.
That aspect.
Yeah, he's good at that.
When you say tough times, anytime that your head coach is Jim Zorn, those are tough times.
They set us up.
We went through tough times. Anytime that you go get a bingo caller off the couch, it comes in and call games on Sunday, just hired him on Monday. It's some hard times. That's so crazy, though. I threw for a lot of yards that year, even with all the chaos going on and everything. So, I just try to keep myself just moving forward and not focus on things I couldn't control.
Let me tell you this. So we would do on Mondays, we would do the interview with the coach on Comcast Sportsnet. We have the coach live. We did Shanahan. We did Zorn. And so we're doing Zorn, and I forget what week it is. They brought in the old bingo caller.
Coach Sherm. Sherman Hemsley is what I call
Sherman
him.
Sherman Lewis. Bingo. Sherman Lewis.
I used to call him Sherman Hemsley off of Amen because he looked
Oh, my God. So, you know, it gets out that he's been calling bingo games. And so before the live shot, this is on a Monday after a game, he sits down before we go live and I say, look, coach, I'm going to have to ask you about Sherm Lewis, calling plays, and the fact that he was a bingo caller the week before. And he looks at me before we go on the air and he goes, well, what do you want me to say to that? And I'm like, nothing, but I have to bring it up because that's the question on every fan's mind.
Right.
So live on the air, we get through the first couple game questions. And I said, coach, I got to get your reaction to Sherm Lewis, who is calling plays this week. Last week he was calling bingo. Well, how do you process that? And he just looks at me and he says it out loud. He goes, what do you want me to say? Because my hands are tied. And it's
sometimes it's nothing you can say.
Right. That's the same thing he told me when he came in there. He said, in all my years of coaching football and everything, he said, I've never, ever seen a player in this type of situation where, you're dealing with so much chaos. He was just like, I really hadn't even had an opportunity really to even speak to your head coach. He said, because, Jim Zorn was kind of upset about the whole ordeal of him coming in there. And
because
he was
and
a guru.
Now this guy's calling plays and he was just like, well, what do you like? He like, we'll try to get you in some plays and everything to enjoy. So you're talking about like two people really not even communicating, but one's in the booth and he got to call the plays down to the other and he got to relay it in to me. So I'm the third person to find out what's going on.
Y'all chill out, I'm working.
And it's the stuff you always have to deal with, man. And it was just frustrating. But, I appreciated Sherm because Sherm was honest. And, he just kind of broke it down like it was. But, Jim Zorn, it took him about 2 to 3 weeks before he just said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be able to scratch him. I just buy into what we got to do. And we'll work together.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, Jim Zorn's hiring alone was bizarre. You come in as as an OC, and then hey, go back home, put a suit on, come on back, and then hire as a head coach. That made no damn sense.
But see, this is the equation that they never put in with college athletes. Your career is based off of what are you exposed to. So when you expose a player to 4 or 5 different offenses by the time he's in his 5th, 6th year, how do you think he's going to screen together year after year after year? Change is bad for players. That's why if Dwayne going to get his career together, it's going to be somewhere like Pittsburgh. Like somewhere that's already got a coach.
Yeah, I say Pittsburgh. Yeah, he's at Kevin O'Connor is.
Yep. So somewhere that already got something put together that he got a standard that he got to live to. And I don't see him going to any strip clubs in Pittsburgh because even I couldn't find one. And I have looked all over the United States. Yeah,
you're a Hall of Famer when it comes to that. You're a Hall of Famer.
I'm a good time coordinator.
Like this is what Dwayne got to do, man. Dwayne got to look at himself and say this. Look at Antonio Brown situation. Thought he was riding on cloud 9.
Yeah.
And when he got knocked down here and when he figured out he wasn't bigger than the NFL, now what? You don't even hear Antonio saying that. He just go to work, do his job.
He just had almost 200 yards today. We ain't heard a word. He had almost 200 yards.
Exactly. Because he's matured now. He's understanding like, man, this is my livelihood. I get one more shot at this. Like Dwayne's going to get another opportunity. He's too talented not to get another opportunity. But when he get that opportunity, it's going to be slim pickings.
Short leash.
The leash is short, because the NFL is fraternity. And you know that. Like, sometimes you look at some guy, you're like, man, how this guy still in the league? Because it's a fraternity. But if he can get in there, he can show some maturity. And when he get this next opportunity, man, he got to hit the ground running. And it's not just about what he's doing so much on the field, but he got to show maturity in the weight room, in the locker room, room, just showing that he wants to be in the NFL. You know, I'm just not here to collect a check, but I want to be in the NFL because I want to be a great football player.
Right. Not showing like he did last week when he walked out on the field trying to dap up Taylor Heinicke just because he saw Chase Young do it. That was a complete farce. By the way, and you're right, Fred, Antonio Brown, 11 catches, 138 yards and 2 touchdowns today.
All right, I ain't heard a word from him.
No, you're right. All right, so tonight's game, we got Washington and Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, Jason Campbell, and it's the comeback story of the year in Alex Smith. Obviously, just playing football is ridiculous. Had the calf injury in the same leg, missed 2 games. He's getting the start tonight. He'll have Terry McLaurin. I've seen some video of McLaurin, by the way, already on the field. I don't think he looks so good, but it will have Antonio Gibson in the backfield as well. If you are the Washington football team, what's your gut tell you about what this team does tonight?
Yeah, I was telling people last week, man. I said last week's game was a game I thought they should have won. You know, you got to take care of your home field, especially with the playoffs on the line. You got to beat the team that you should beat. And now you're putting all your eggs in one basket where you got to go on the road against a Philadelphia team who's starting a young quarterback who can run, who can cause a lot of problems. You know, nothing to lose and everything the game by knocking you off. And it's on Sunday night. And so this game is going to be one of those games where you got to see your real leaders got to step up. Like you see Chase Young, you know, show a lot over the last couple of weeks. I think Montez Sweat, I think he's another guy that can step up tonight and cause some problems with Hurts by jumping up, getting his hands on some balls. Yeah. I think defensively, I think these guys are going to come ready to play tonight. Like I said, I think the one thing for Washington is can their back end hold up with Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffries, because they're going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities. Because the way that they run that read option with Hurts, you got to put that eighth man in the box. So, you know, if you can win on the outside when you're a one-on-one matchup, I think you got an opportunity. Now, comes to Alex. Yes, Alex coming off a calf injury, and you're not young anymore, so you don't recover as fast as you used to.
Sure.
I think it's going to be very pivotal to see how he can move on that leg if he was to get pressure in the pocket. And I think, you know, that's going to be a big key. And with McLaurin, we're not sure he's going to play, and Fred can tell you this. Anytime you play on a wet football field, you have to change your spikes. And when you change your spikes and your cleats, it does do a little something to your route run as far as, like, the speed and the adjustment. So, you know, if he can't go, then that means Cam Sims has got to have a big game. And Logan Thomas has got to be a big part of the offense tonight and for Washington to have an opportunity to score those points.
Jason, I must say, your talent on TV and radio has really went from I gave you a C-minus early in your career. Now you are damn good with the mic in your face. You are, from the bottom of my heart, the Prince of Soul Glow. Thank you, brother.
Once.
Hey, man. Hey, Fred, I appreciate that, man. Any compliment I can get from Fred, Fred's still upset that I beat him out for All-State in Mississippi. So,
shots fired.
I was telling y'all when I was young, Jason was my backup, all right, at the All-State basketball team at Port Gore. But to say that he was my backup, I'm older than Jason. So that says a lot that he was already ranked that high and young.
So Jason, how good a baller was Fred?
No, Fred was a baller. You know, anytime you can, yeah, he was a baller.
My high school is for real right for now, basketball.
The boys to stop all that fighting down there so they can have a football team next year, because half of them going to be suspended the season start.
Smoot's scared to play me one-on-one, so throwing that out there.
I don't take advantage of my elders. I try to make sure when I play competition, I play with people like Jason so we can really get out to each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. By the way, Amish is not older than you.
he looks older than me.
I do not look older than you. No.
He does.
You know who you look like? You look like the guy who played for the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, Luka Doncic?
Jokovic, yeah.
Like I'll take
yeah. Oh my God. I'll take that. Oh, that's better than Amish. I'll take that.
No, he looked like a poor man's Luka Doncic. I'm talking about no.
My God. I thought that Washington's quarterback situation was bizarre. Oh, Lord. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz, he's a healthy scratch tonight. My man is gone.
They owe him $75 million.
Gone.
$75 million.
Yeah, Carson Wentz's head was gone when they put a statue of Nick Foles up close to the locker room when they won the championship. And then when they drafted Jalen Hurts, from a quarterback standpoint, you already mentally challenged in a lot of different ways. And when you get hurt and you see somebody else come in and lead the team to the Super Bowl, and then they put a statue of him up, and this guy's still playing in the league, and then all of a sudden you draft another quarterback in the early second round, mentally it goes to show you that he's checked out. And his only opportunity is for him to go somewhere else and have a fresh start.
Coach.
But like Fred said, he's still getting $75 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes do you pay these quarterbacks too early or it's a question to be seen, because, you know, financially he can't be worrying about anything because he's set. Yeah, but from a mental standpoint, for him to be a scratch tonight, that means he tried to be a good teammate and that couldn't work for him. Like, his feelings is hurt. It's like your girlfriend breaking up with you and get with someone else, and you got to sit here and watch this. That's what he's looking
every day.
Like, feeling
I'm talking about day one of your teammates. Every time y'all go on a trip, here she is. What you doing up in here? Huh? That what happened.
By the way, on Facebook.
That what happened. So, you know.
On Facebook, somebody says, when are we going to talk about Mississippi State? Oh, we're not going to talk about Mississippi State.
That's fine. Y'all can't bother me, because y'all know one thing. Right now in the NFL, is more prevalent Mississippi State Bulldogs than it is prevalent Auburn Tigers.
What do you think about that brawl, though? What do you think about the brawl?
What about Alabama? You look at our pros compared to Alabama pros, they ain't got a chance with us. They can't play with Chris Jones. They can't play with Fletcher Cox. They can't play with Simmons. Sweat. Like, when you put an all-Mississippi State team together, that Auburn can't play with us. Alabama can't play with us. Two-way quarterback, that ain't going to work.
But how can we beat y'all every year?
Hey, I ain't got – y'all don't beat us every year, Jason. When I was
in
school –
We beat y'all every year.
We was Alabama. When I was in school, I never lost to the SEC.
When I was in school, we was 3-1.
When y'all were in school, that was like a long time ago, by the way.
Well, guess what? I never lost against
Auburn. 1970?
So how you feeling?
What's this about? See how the college roots still run deep? And these are two Mississippi guys, by the way.
Yeah, that's so crazy, dude. I root for Mississippi State because my brother played for State.
Jason's brother played at State before I did.
Yeah.
So okay.
Jason was coming out. We thought we had Jason guaranteed.
Really? So
he sold his devil to the war. That's what he did. He sold his soul.
What position did your brother play?
Linebacker.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh. Can we talk about tonight's game, for God's sakes, you guys?
Man, the game is on. We're supposed to be watching the game now.
Wait a minute. The game is 8:20. 8:20 start.
Smoot doesn't get time. Smoot doesn't understand time.
Yeah, he does. No concept of time whatsoever. All right, Jalen Hurts, an unknown commodity from the standpoint of not a whole lot of tape on him, Fred Smoot.
Yep.
So he can create a problem for guys like you who keeps a play alive in that backfield.
No, he just make you as a defensive back. Keep your eye off of him and keep your eye on your man, unless we zone blitzing, which that's what a coach like Greg would do against a guy like him. Zone blitzing, and he more Russell Wilson than he is Lamar Jackson. Very smooth runner, not the fastest, not the biggest, but also got some baseball player in his background. Can throw from every angle, and he's fearless. He's played in all the big championship games. He's been up for the Heisman. He's a guy. He's a work hard guy. He seems to have the pulse of that locker room. And when the play break down, it's still a chance with him. Now you got to ask yourself, this defense has been great. Who haven't we been great against? Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. Like, so we seem to not do well against the quarterbacks that get outside the pocket and extend plays. Now I got to put that in Jack Del Rio's lap. What is he going to do with the pen and the pencil against Peterson and the rest of their coaching staff that's going to be different than they used to seeing from this Washington defense?
Hmm. And, Jason, there's a guy on this franchise called Chase Young who has – I think he's kind of solidified the Defensive Player of the Year honors. 15 years and 2 days ago, a guy named Sean Taylor in Philadelphia – sealed the deal with a fumble return for touchdown to send the Washington franchise to the playoffs. When you look at a guy like Chase Young, from your quarterback position, what kind of problems does he present you?
Yeah, Chase, first of all, he's a power guy. You know, he can get up under guys, shoulder pads, and he has a great rush. You know, he got a good up and under. The one thing he does, he's lonely. And when I say that is, you know, he has a net to reach for the ball. Like, you see a lot of guys that try to go completely for sacks. You already seeing that this kid's young, early age, that he goes for the knockout ball. Like, he tries to hit the ball while he's trying to make a sack. Only a few defensive ends are able to think that way and react at the same time. He's one of those type of guys. And, you know, ultimately, Philly's going to have to know where he's at all times of the field. I think they're going to try to put him in a position where they do run some read stuff at him to make him have to see if he's going to chase the quarterback or he's going to take the back. Like Fred was saying, this is a game where, for me, your linebackers got to be on their keys, because you can't get caught looking in the backfield and let the tight end get behind you, who had a ton of catches the first time that Washington played Philly. And so you got to make sure you stand on your man. If you got the running back, stick with the running back. Don't try to be the hero and come back and make a tackle on Jalen. And all of a sudden he pitched the ball to the running back. He's going down the sideline. And if you're a DB, like Fred said, you can't get your eyes caught up in the backfield. You know, Washington has given up a lot of plays early this year on deep balls in the first half. In the second half, they always do a better job of responding after they go into halftime. But they have got to flip that in their mindset. They cannot get behind tonight 14-0 with the playoffs on the line, because now you're putting all that added pressure. You need to come out there and play relentless and not get beat deep. Like force Jalen to have to beat you with accurate throws. Don't just let guys go by you, because you know they're going to take some shots with Deshaun.
Yeah, D-Jack. Everybody forget the D-Jack equation. He's not getting any slower. Now, he can't – his body ain't staying put together like it used to, but he's not getting any slower, and that's what they want to do. They want to make us play from behind because we've done it all year. One of the few games that we've been front-running, and that's when you get to see defense and pass rushers go play football, is when you actually got the lead. Philadelphia was one of those games where we got up and we got to see this pass rush really get after some people. So that's what I'm looking to see. Can we score early? And I want to see this D-line play with a lead so they can just – so we can let the dogs loose.
All right. So here's the funniest thing for me tonight. And Fred already mentioned it. For 4 years, I covered Jason Campbell, okay? 4 years, I stuck a microphone in front of his face, ask a question, and I'd get like 11 seconds of answer. It was like he'd say his thing, and he was done, right? And I'm like, I get done with the interviews, and I go, look, that quarterback just gave us nothing. He's like, this guy is so tight-lipped. You listen to him right now. I've seen you on NBC Sports Washington, and I'm seeing you right here, waxing poetic, man. I wish you were that way when you were a player, but I understand it. I understand it. You know, I get it. You know, coaches are like, hey, man, don't give too much shit away, blah, blah, blah. Let's blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, I mean, you have evolved as a
Now, I can say some things. Yeah, I can say something now. Back then, they kept you on a leash. They didn't want you to say too much. They right. let you know before you get there. Don't give too much. You give them a little bit and go on. But I understand, like, being on this side of it now, it is hard, you know, like you try to dig some answers out of some guys, like, you know, and everything. But it is important that you learn how to communicate. And I think, you know, me playing in D.C. and me playing out in California and a lot of these big cities, you know, it definitely prepped me for the what I'm doing now. So, you know, but definitely, though, like I said, man, I have so much that I could pass on to some of these young guys. But I reached out to Noah Haskins after he was drafted. I reached out to him after he was benched. You know, but you can't force your way on the guys to ask questions. Like I said, I don't want anything from these guys. I just want to help them, you know, to see some things that maybe you didn't see as an early age or saw some things, but you had somebody to tell you along the way and it got you through there. You know, I was able to play 10 years in the league, you know, and could have played more. You know, I was having a really good career out in Oakland, broke my collarbone.
Right.
But, you know, things happen and, you know, you just got to keep ply on. But I've always had mentors, Chick, and that's the thing. Like, you can't know too much. And I think now so much is given to these kids as an early age that they don't earn anything. So when it comes time for them to have to earn something, they don't know how. The first thing they know how to do in college is, I'm going to transfer to another college. What they do in the pros is, I'm going to go be by myself. I'm not going to talk to anyone, you know. So those are just things because you don't know any better because you don't have anyone trying to push you in that direction. So hopefully these guys find the mentors.
So you reached out to him. What was the response?
I didn't get anything, you know, so that's the thing, you know, you get anything. So that's the thing. Like, sometimes I don't know if these kids feel like somebody wants something from other. I don't want your money. You know what I'm saying? I've been able to do that successfully. I'm just trying to help another young kid that I see in a position where, you know, he's trying to get to that next level. You don't want the kid to waste the opportunity. Like, you only get one shot to come through the NFL. You can make it a long career or you can have it be a really short career. And, you know, the way that he's going right now, you know, he's going to be in and out in 3 years. But if, you know, if he can get himself together from a maturity standpoint and stop feeling like I'm up here, let me just bring it here and start to listen and just drive. Then he has the opportunity. Like, he has the arm talent to stay in the league for a while, especially with the offenses they run now. They kind of gear the offenses towards your talent. It used to be, no, you got to fit into the system. But now coaches are realizing, like, there's like 8 to 9 starting African-American quarterbacks now because they're not trying to change them. They're making the system to their ability, where they used to try to make you fit the system. It's the opposite now. So it's such a great opportunity for these guys, more so nowadays. Back then when I was playing and NAB and everybody else, but we had to fit systems.
Damn it, Jason. Now you won't stop talking. Like, first we couldn't get you to talk. And now I can't get you to stop talking. But you're totally right. But I don't understand why he would think somebody like you would want something from him. It ain't nothing that he's finna see that you haven't already saw. It ain't nothing that he was first round, you was first round. He almost played for a national championship. They messed over y'all and didn't give y'all a national championship. You've done everything that he's done. Why wouldn't he want to soak up that knowledge? And you're right. The new kids, the new millennial, because we give them so much so early, they never have to work for anything. They think they're right about everything, about never wrong about anything. And then you want to try to guard them from having to touch that fire to know it's hot. But sometimes they just have to do it.
All right. No, you're right, Brad. That's the difference between now and, they always say, oh, man, older guys are just jealous because now these young guys get. No, that's not it. I'm pretty sure guys before us said we got way more than they got, It's going to always be that way. But I was trying to talk to him from a mental standpoint of, how to play the game and how to do what you got to do to get teammates to be with you, but be real, some of the things I saw was just okay, he hadn't played football enough to understand because, like I said, he had that 1 year at Ohio State. And then he come to Washington, his first adversity was here. And this is a major city. It can eat you up if you don't know how to deal with the media, if you don't know how to deal with, the confines of being a quarterback in D.C. And I think that, I don't know if it was more pressure because he lived here and he grew up there and, his family hearing one thing and everything. Then it gets to him and then it makes him feel more nervous. Or because what got me was when he had a 300-yard game, but they lost to Baltimore – mm-hmm. He was behind Lamar playing, right. You need to get to the locker room, know what I'm saying, and be upset a little bit about you just lost the game. Who cares about the 300 yards? You lost, and then just go to show you, like Chick was saying, on the cell phone. And then just, it's just different things like that, man, that just shows you, man, he just needs someone to just grab him and, really, dig into him. But you can't just dig into somebody if they're not willing to take the information to, though. So he's got to be willing to receive it if he really wants to.
For the record, not all millennials are like that. And frankly, I'm not even sure if he is a millennial, technically. But I have to throw that out there.
What's after millennial? I think it's centennial.
It's like Gen Z, Gen X, or Gen Z, something like that.
I thought it was centennial.
Not centennial.
It's Gen X or Gen Z. I can't remember which. It's one of those two.
Like Chick. See, Chick appreciate that Jesus get him a free haircut week in and week out. He don't get mad about that. He appreciate it. Hey, you know what?
That's two days' growth.
I see the stubby over there. I see you looking stubby.
That's 2 days' growth.
Yeah, you don't have that Clemson colors on, but it's about hey, Chick, when you lose on the golf course, you don't just quit. You come back.
I come right back. Freaking back is what I do because I know.
Yeah, I heard Rock Cartwright been whipping you though.
No. Ask Rock the last time we played. Rock gave me two strokes and he goes, and after I think I was 3 under after 5 holes, he looked at me and went, "What the hell is this?" I'm like, "It's just golf, man."
What you know about Smooth Chambeau?
Don't know
it. Oh,
Smooth Chambeau.
Oh, okay.
We got 3 minutes till game time, by the way. All right, so give me your final thoughts here on tonight's game. It's Washington at Philadelphia, a chance to get to the playoffs the first time. It's the most bizarre season. We all get that. And here we are, Alex Smith, maybe Terry McLaurin in, Chase Young for the buried in goal, going against Jalen Hurts, Deshaun Jackson. I'll start with let's give Amish. Amish, who's Ravens, by the way, won 38-3 over the
That was fun
Bengals.
To watch, yep. That was fun to watch.
Lamar Jackson, by the way, 10 of 18, 113 through the air, and 11 carries, 97 yards on the ground. Was untouched, basically. He ran so smartly.
And he's thrown no since he's been in the league. He's never threw an interception in the red zone. He's thrown 49 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Phenomenal. Amish, who are you picking tonight?
Washington football team. Against my better judgment, I'm going 24-17, Washington football team.
24-17. All right, Mr. Fred Smoot.
That sounds so – I've heard that somewhere before. But, of course, I'm going to go with the team with no name. I'm also going Washington, but I think the kids going to play with a lot more spirit. I think they're going to come out and they're going to show that they really want this because they want to prove that not only are we going to the playoff, but we got to prove to y'all that we belong. I hope you know the last team to get in at 7-9 was a Seattle team. All right, that kind of made some noise, and a Carolina Panther team that also made some noise, coached by our coach. So at the end of the day, I'm going to say we're going to go out there and put up the big 30 on these guys tonight. 30-9. They don't even score a touchdown.
30-9. Okay.
Smoot, you look like a hologram with that background. It's nice. Going in and out. It's weird.
Hey, listen,
Mr. Jason Campbell. Mr. J.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna say this. I think Washington defense is gonna show up tonight, but I also think watching all these games today, the teams that are already out the playoffs have been giving trouble to the teams that are trying to fight and win and get in the playoffs. So I think Washington gonna eventually pull this out 20-17 tonight. In a drag out. I just think it'll be maybe a 10-7 game at halftime. Washington wins the 20-17.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 27-20, Washington a winner, over Philadelphia. If Washington doesn't win, the Giants are in at 6-10, first time in NFL history that a team makes the playoffs at 6-10.
But Jason, guess what? That means we get the draft Kyle Pitts. I love Kyle Pitts. He's a souped-up, faster version of Shannon Sharp. He's 6'6", 255 pounds, the tight end from Florida. He is a weapon, mark my word. I do. Smooster Dumbest do this every year. I tell you, does, who the ball is going to be? Kyle Pitts. Perennial.
Why wouldn't you go after Devontae Smith? You can put him opposite of McLaurin. Then you got two stud receivers out there.
No. That's just like me buying sports cars and getting two Lamborghinis. I don't need that. I need something that's a mix match.
You got a few quarterbacks you can get in free agency, but you could probably have Alex for one more year.
Let me ask you something, quarterback. What would you have starting off? Would you rather have two number one receivers, number one receiver, and a number one tight end?
Well, the way the game is played now, you want a number one tight end to go along with a number one receiver.
Thank you, then. Because Kelce, look at the offenses that dominate. Right. They have a number one receiver and a legit tight end. When it comes to Kittles and the rest of those guys, give me Kyle Pitts, and you can have your Devontae Smith. Let him get the Heisman. I'm fine with it. I'm good. I ain't really an Alabama receiver guy.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Jason, great to catch up with you, man. What are you up to these days besides several different media outlets?
Yeah, besides TV and radio, I just, I enjoy trying to get out and do some home renovations. I'm trying to, I really enjoy, like, doing properties and different things like that. But other than that, you can find me on podcasts. You know, you find me on IG, jcampbell17. I do NBC Washington, but at the same time, I do work for Auburn Sports Radio. So I got a lot of different things I'm doing now. So, I kind of enjoy it. Can't wait to try to play golf again. Had to get my knee right for a little bit, but don't worry, Chick. I'm coming back to D.C. to play you at Avondale.
Oh, that's what it is. That's why. That's why you gained a little weight. I thought it was because your gluten intake. It's the knee.
That's savage.
Because of gluten. That's so wrong. Jason, great to catch up with you, man. I appreciate you. We get to the playoffs. Maybe we talk again because I like your insight. The game has started. We will be back here on Facebook and Twitter for the post-game show. We're not doing halftime, by the way, fellas.
We're fine.
Yeah, we'll do post-game. We'll come back for the post-game for those on Facebook and Twitter. For now, for Jason Campbell, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Great to see y'all.
Spectacular after what Doug Peterson did.
Sudfeld? How do you go to Sudfeld?
Jalen Hurts is creating some problems for the Washington team. You're kind of waiting for that ticking time bomb. And then here comes Nate Sudfeld, former Washington football
One of the player. Best things that I've ever heard in my life was Jim Nantz saying, "What was that?" on that last drive.
Right.
On a Sudfeld throw.
Chris Baker right. in the house. Can you hear me, Chris?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeedy. We're waiting on Fred Smoot to come in. He's knows?
Coming back from the bar somewhere.
It's quite possible. So joining us is Chris Baker, former Washington footballer, who well knows what the playoffs are like for this franchise. Was there during the last time these football teams in the playoffs, and was on Twitter tonight absolutely going nuts, which I loved, by the way. I absolutely loved it. So, Bake, I'm sitting there drinking a Guinness, the celebration beer.
Mm-hmm. Word.
Word. Absolutely. Give me your initial thoughts here on this team winning the NFC East with a 7-win season. Yep, he's breaking up now. Can you hear me, Chris? Yep, he's breaking up. He's moving around. He's breaking up. And now he's gone. And it's like and maybe he's back.
He'll be back. I'm sure he's getting to a.
Yeah.
Getting better.
To a location. It's like the Eagles offense. It was there. Then it wasn't. It was there. Then it wasn't. Boy, that's tasty. That is good.
No Bloody Mary for you tonight?
No Bloody Marys. All right. I'm looking on here. That's funny. Somebody on Facebook said, I thought I was going to hear, "Do you believe in miracles?" from Al Michaels. Well, that was not going to happen.
No.
Lola says, "We actually did it." That's I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned at it all, to be quite honest with you.
Do you know how much money we could have made if we had bet before the season If we had gone to Vegas and bet on the Washington football team making the playoffs, how much money you could have made off of that?
What the number is. I'm sure there's a way to get to it to see what they were before the season started.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just it is unbelievable. Waiting on Fred Smoot, and hopefully Chris Baker will rejoin us here. Final numbers for the Washington football team. Alex Smith, 22 of 32 for 162, two touchdowns and two interceptions. Those were not good ones, by the way. The running game was absolutely horrendous. 103 yards total for Washington, 118 for Philadelphia. And passing, Philadelphia, they threw for 98 yards tonight.
Yep.
98 yards. Yep. You could not have asked for a better scenario if you're a Washington football team fan. Although Jalen Hurts was going to be a problem. Hurts's numbers, let me get this out of the way for a second. Hurts 7 of 20 for 72 yards, one INT. But his running was hurting people. 8 carries for 34 yards.
Well played.
Yep. Let's see if, yeah. So I'm stunned. I can't wait to see what Ron Rivera says. And I really can't wait to see what Doug Peterson says about that move to Nate Sudfeld. Benching Jalen Hurts.
I have no words. What the hell was that? That was so baffling. How do you make that decision? Especially with the Eagles, their season's lost. Might as well see what you have in Hurts. Like, I don't understand why. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm looking at tweets. and I'm trying to search out Giants tweets. Darius Slayton, why on God's green earth is Jalen Hurts not in the game? That was a while ago, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, the Giants must be just thinking to themselves. They had a chance. Giants did their part. They beat Dallas. They sat back and watched Sunday Night Football and then watched it just disappear. I'm sure they thought they had a chance.
Yep.
Certainly.
Meanwhile, 3 AFC North teams made the playoffs with 10 or more wins. But we have a team here. Making the playoffs with.
Yeah. So if you're on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube and you're watching, Chick Hernandez here along with Cy Fenwick, we call him the Amish man or Lightfoot. He's in, where are you at? You in Rockville?
Yep, in Rockville.
In Rockville, Maryland. I'm in Silver Spring, Maryland. And here comes Baker again. Let's try Baker one more time. Get back to Chris Baker. All right, here we go. All right, we lost it for a little while. All right, try this again.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, here we go. Look at that sweatshirt. Got a sweatshirt on. Nice.
Throwback.
Very nice. So, dude, I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm looking at you on Twitter, and you're having a lot of fun with folks. It was awesome. Just give me your thoughts on, I'm sure you watched this team this year and what they went through. You got a quarterback who nearly died 2 years ago, almost lost his leg. You got a head coach who was battling cancer during the season. You had a number one pick, a first-round pick quarterback waived on Monday, and here they are, NFC East champs. I know that you guys, when you played, you had a circus. It was circus in your squad. I'm not sure what to call this one, but this was amazing.
It was definitely amazing. You know, when you're talking about fighting through adversity, this team is the prime example for fighting through adversity, especially with the coach going through all the things that he's went through with cancer, and then all the things that happened with Haskins. You know, a lot of us was rooting for Haskins, but just from the outside looking in, you could tell he has a lot of maturing to do. So it was definitely hard to see that happening, but you know, the guys stayed together and just kept finding a way to get the wins that they needed to win. And at the end of the day, they won the NFC East, and that's all you can ask for. There's a chance to go to the playoffs.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And they're going against your old squad. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming into town. By the way, Washington has a home. They're hosting a game. It doesn't compute. They're going to host the game next Saturday, 8:15.
All you got to do is win your division, man. Don't matter what the record is, man. Just win your division and get a chance. Everybody's 0-0 starting on Saturday. So
yeah, it's true. And with this defense, as you played on the position, this defense for Washington, that's not one you want to face. I don't care who you are. You don't want to face a team like that, a unit like that in the playoffs because, man, they can wreak some havoc.
Without a question, you know, I feel like the playoffs really come to the offensive and defensive line. You know, if the offensive line can move the defensive line the way and create running lanes and protect their quarterback, then they're going to do good. If the defensive line is able to disrupt the offensive line and get after that quarterback and make plays in the backfield, then it's to their advantage. So, you know, our defense is really good, especially with our front seven, our front four, all first-round picks. So the expectations are high, and they all have been balling, man. When you look at Sweat, Kerrigan, Young, Payne, like everybody's making some type of play, and it's really exciting to see.
Now that combo of Montez Sweat and Chase Young, and you could tell tonight, even Chase, where he didn't get to the quarterback a couple of times, but the pressure that he put on the outside, you know,
yeah, he broke through a lot.
Every pass play, you have to be worried, and you have to know where this guy is at because he's such a disruptive player. Any given play, he could be going for a sack, force fumble. He could be going and getting a scoop, a fumble, and running back for a touchdown. You know, so even if he's not making sacks, he's hurrying up the quarterback, getting him off the spot. You know, and to have a rotation of guys that can just keep coming and the production doesn't let off is really amazing.
Yeah, if you're getting double teamed as a rookie, that's respect, right?
Oh, without a question. You know, anytime you're getting double teamed, you know, it's definitely respect. And, you know, you have to watch him the whole game because it's like a constant chip going on, or just, they're trying to scheme some way to slow him down, but you know, he finds a way to keep getting off the edge and creating pressure.
I said it during our pregame show, we are 15 years and 2 days away from when Sean Taylor did it in 2005.
Yeah.
A little scoop and score and seal the deal in Philadelphia to get to the playoffs.
Man, you're making me feel a little old, man, because 2005 was my graduation year.
Well, you know, we all grow up at some point. I haven't yet. No. I haven't yet.
Well, neither has Smoot, obviously. He's not here.
Okay. Smoot hadn't. By the way, I don't know if Baker knows. That's Cy, by the way. That's Cy Fenwick, our producer.
How you doing, Baker? Cyrus?
Oh, my man. I'm doing well.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. That's right. I would love to be a fly on the wall in the New York Giants, I guess, exit tomorrow. I mean, they're watching this game tonight, and they're thinking, okay, you know what? Still in it. And Jalen can do some things, might hurt him. And then all of a sudden, here comes Nate Sudfeld onto the field, and they must have just crapped themselves.
Oh, my goodness. There's no explanation that I could come up with to see why Peterson would, you know, make that switch at quarterback, because it wasn't as if Jalen was playing bad. I mean, he was having a pretty good game. And, you know, we made a good defensive play and rushed him, and he missed that throw just by a couple inches.
Right.
And then for Nate to come in the game and then, like, two straight turnovers, is like, well, what the hell did you do that for? You know what I mean? But as a Washington fan, I'm like, hey, great. Put Nate in. Let him mess it up. And, hey, let's win this NFC East. And that's what happened. So I'm not complaining as a fan, but – it did suck to see Jalen get benched, especially when he was playing pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense from several standpoints. One, Jalen Hurts, young quarterback, trying to find his way. You want to keep seeing him play. You want to see him play in pressure situations. And then you pull him out, and I don't know what Doug told him other than, hey, dude, you're a guy, but I got to see your backup. I don't know if he did that. If he did that, fine.
That's what you do in the preseason, but not in a regular season game. I mean, there's so many guys in that locker room that has won, that probably won the championship with the team, so they're not going out here trying to lose games. And if you're really going to figure out what you're going to do as a team moving forward, especially with the disgruntled what's the other quarterback name?
Carson Wentz. Why didn't he dress?
Yeah, Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz. A healthy scratch.
He's a healthy scratch. What was that?
I don't know. And it's like, if the relationship is really tarnished between him and the head coach, why wouldn't you see what kind of quarterback you have to go into the next season with? Like, it makes zero sense.
Especially with how much money they're paying Carson Wentz. You'd think that
75 mil, dude.
Yeah. Like
75 mil to be a healthy scratch. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Doesn't make any sense.
And then the quarterback that you have to basically replace him, you
is Sudfeld
for no reason.
Well, we talked about it on the pregame show, and you know, we had Jason Campbell on the pregame show.
JC.
That's right. And he said, oh, well, Carson knew it was over when a statue of Nick Foles was put up outside Philadelphia Stadium. I mean, it's terrible.
Nick Foles is my guy. I love him. Can't you tell? me and Nick Foles have a great relationship.
Do you now? Sure. What are you up to these days? What are you doing?
Man, I'm just relaxing up here in Connecticut. You know, I have my trucking company here. So I just been trying to figure out life after football, and I've been doing my logistics here. So, you know, it's been a blessing. You know, I played 9 years in the NFL as an undrafted guy, and now it's time to turn the page, and I'm loving this logistics.
how old are your kids?
My daughter is about to turn 5 in a couple of days, and my son is 2.
Okay. Yeah. I remember when your daughter was born.
It was right before the playoff game when we played the Packers.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yep. So I can't wait to see what the New York Post headlines is tomorrow as to
what's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy.
I mean, if you're in that Philadelphia locker room, you have to be, you know, when you watch Nate walk out of the field, you're like, dude, what are we doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, so many guys are going to, they're probably going to pull a Marshawn Lynch during a press conference. Next question.
Yeah. I mean, if they're smart, they will.
Right.
We saw a quarterback for Washington in Alex Smith, who still, you can tell, that calf injury. I think it's worse than they're going to really tell us. But he
without
was
a question, you know, I think he just gutted it out this game. You know, I feel like the adrenaline just helped him get through. But you could tell every time they blitzed and made him roll out, he was uncomfortable. You could see when he walked back to the huddle that he was always wincing, like, damn, my shit hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean? True. Yeah, so, you know, hopefully he could get it together. But if not, hopefully, what's the other kid? Heineken?
Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, Heineke. Yeah, hopefully he could come in and give us a fresh boost if needed. But hopefully our run game and our defense could get us through.
I mean, that's the thing is, along with how crazy the season's been, he might be going, as he did last week, he might be going to his fourth quarterback, who played pretty well, by the way, last week against Carolina, to come in and mop up for Dwayne. But this, I don't know what to expect. They do have a running game. This gives Terry McLaurin a few more days on that high ankle sprain, right, to get it better. Cause he is dangerous no matter what.
Question him and this new tight end. And I love this
Logan game. Thomas, dude. How'd that former quarterback.
And he is a stud. I didn't think we'll have another tight end like Jordan Reed again, but this Logan Thomas guy has really, he's been impressive. He definitely reminds me of someone like Jordan Reed. I feel like Jordan Reed was a little bit more shiftier and can do like a little wide receiver stuff, but this Logan Thomas has been stepping up all game. He's been doing good in the run game and in the pass game. I'm impressed with him.
Yeah, and he's got a body that can take a hit, as where Jordan Reed, not so much.
Yeah, I know. Not so much.
I mean, and Logan went up high for that ball. I think if Jordan would have caught that ball, he'd have come back down and something would have snapped on his body.
Man, it was rough watching Jordan sometimes. He was such a great player, but we just knew if it was a hard hit, he probably out of the game, man. But that's my thought, though. But it sucked, you know what I mean? Because you always want a player like Jordan on your team because he was just so gifted. Mm-hmm. But you just always feared for his safety. Like, even during camp, it was like, we want him to practice, but if he's going to get hurt, I'd rather him not practice and just playing the game.
Yeah. I know we have a playoff game coming up, but I do want to ask you, what do you think the Washington football team should do with quarterback in the offseason? Draft, free agent, where do you see them going as far as the quarterback route?
That's a tough question.
It is.
I'm not sure where we're going to be placed in the draft to pick. I'm not sure what our real pressing needs are as a team. I think we could squeak through another year with Alex Smith if he could get healthy. I would like to see him groom another quarterback if possible. I would like to get like a quarterback maybe in the second, third round, someone who we could really turn the price over to, but not go out on a limb and get another first round pick and then have to redshirt them in a sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there's a lot of options that we can do. You know, the running back had came out of nowhere. I think he was a low round draft pick or something like that. Yeah. And he's been balling out. So, you know, it's, I don't know how the offensive line is holding up. You know, anytime you lose a guy like Trent, it's hard to find somebody to replace a left tackle. And, your left tackle is the cornerstone of your offensive scheme, you know, because if he can block the blind side for the quarterback, you're going to have a long day, you know what I mean? So,
So they put, they just gave an extension to the center, Chase Ruhier, till 2024.
Yeah. He's been solid, man. Him
been
and
solid. Yeah,
right next to Brandon Sheriff. I mean, that helps having Sheriff right next to you.
no question. So I'm looking at Twitter tonight, and then all of a sudden, Will Blackman starts tweeting, and you start chiming in. So I got to hear the story. I know part of – look, I played
oh, here we go.
I played golf with Jay Gruden a couple years ago, and he explained to me what took place at the end of the half. And he said – he gave me the truth about – certain guys weren't going to run this play. They said, screw that. I'm not playing. I'm not doing this. And Kirk has no idea this is taking place until he gets up to the line of scrimmage. So just tell me what transpired in one of those games where, you know, what I read.
Okay.
Read,
so we was,
yeah, go ahead.
We was getting ready to clinch the NFC East. I think it was the same situation that the guys just played in today. And I think, I don't know how much time was left, but it's probably like under 10 seconds. And we called a timeout. We had no more timeouts left. And there was a big argument between the wide receivers and Coach Gruden. They wanted us to just kick the field goal, take the points going in the half. Gruden is like, hey, we got another shot to score a touchdown possibly. So we're going to run one more play. It's going to be a fade out the end zone or, you know, just something where the clock is going to stop if it's an incomplete pass. We go in and kick the field goal.
You're talking Pierre and Deshaun are the ones that are the wideouts.
Yeah. So – it's a huge argument going on, like, in the middle of the timeout. Like, kick the field goal. No, we're going to run this play. And then next thing you know, they call a play, they line up, and Kirk takes a knee with no timeouts on, like, the three-yard line. So we are pissed. I mean, everybody's pissed. The guys on defense is pissed. Like, what the f*** are y'all calling? Like, how dare you not kick the ball or have a design play call? Right. So we go into the halftime, and it's like Royal Rumble in there. Half the players want to kick the coach's ass. I mean, it was crazy. Deshaun Jackson caught an asthma attack. I mean, it was crazy. We had to literally hold the guys back from fighting the damn coaches. But it was so funny, yo. We, like, after – I think that whole halftime, I don't even think we went over halftime adjustments. It was just straight arguing. And then some point, we were just like, hey, we got to go out here and win this game in the second half. Let's do this. And, you know, we got together and came out there and had a great second half. But that halftime was the funniest thing ever. Not at the time, though.
Not at the time, no. I mean, I think, you know, when Jay finally told me, you know, it's in the offseason, and he's telling me, and he goes, you remember that play at the end of the half when Kirk basically just took a knee?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. He's like, he said to me, both his wideouts said, we're not in the huddle, said, we're not running that. We're not running. Right. We're not running the route. And he said he took the snap, and he looked up and he saw nobody move. And at that point, he's like,
And when he hiked the ball, Aaron and DJ, neither one of them moved. It was like, I can't believe Coach really gonna do this shit. And then Kirk ain't know what to do. He just took a knee.
And I think Jay was arguing with Deshaun or trying to calm him down.
It was him and Pierre, because they were told Coach Gruden not to run a play, just take the points and let's go on the halftime. Let's just get these points. We don't need to try and force another. But I felt like, honestly, just as a football player, I felt like we had a chance just to run, you know, a quick back shoulder fade play. Yeah. And if it don't work, then, you know, you kick the field goal. But others had different opinions. Then, yeah, it got kind of ugly.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's what I said about the circus. And this is the kind of a different circus. And Ron Rivera's not playing around. That's why he waived Dwayne Haskins on Monday and said, I can't deal with this anymore. You know, and I think he gave him enough opportunity. And as we said on the pregame show, I hope that he gets the right people around him that can advise him correctly. And he's got to kind of, you know, readjust how he thinks about what he wants from the game and what he wants from life, because he's got physical skills. But back to this squad.
I was saying the same thing, you know, like when you talk with your friends and, you know, you, especially as an African-American, I always want to see our quarterbacks have a chance and go out there and do well.
Right.
And to see, you know, the immature acts that he had. I mean, he is a young guy, so that's kind of with the territory. But at the end of the day, you're a professional athlete. You're getting paid millions of dollars. And there's an expectation, especially as a quarterback, that you have to upheave to, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, bottom line is your head coach is, you know, is battling cancer, and you have 52 other guys in the locker room, and we're in a COVID protocol. You can't put anybody else who then goes home to their families, to their parents, to their kids, That's, you know, I don't care how young or old you are. There's a brain in there. And if you're paying attention at all to what's going on in our country, you know,
right. And even if it's not like if it wasn't COVID, you know, it wouldn't be a problem. But the fact that we're going through all this COVID stuff, and you know how dangerous this disease is, there's no reason to put yourself at risk, whether you went to a strip club or had the strippers come to you or had there's no need for that, especially as a starting quarterback and you're you just lost your job and then you got it back and then you go do that after a loss. It was like, come on.
Ridiculous. Bro. All right, so Tom Brady and the Buccaneers come to town next Saturday. You're a defensive player. You know that you're facing a guy who is probably deemed one of the top three quarterbacks in NFL history. Is that fair?
No question. Okay. No, Tom Brady, as soon as you mention his name, you got to mention GOAT, you know,
because
especially during our time, it hasn't been a big
problem. All right, so you're a defender. You're going against him, and everybody said at the beginning of the season, well, he's gone to Tampa, and he's 43. Well, the way he's played this year, and some of the games he's had, I mean, I haven't seen a drop off. So tell me if you are Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator of the Washington Football Team, how are you trying to attack, or as a player, how would you like to attack a Tom Brady offense?
We got to get him off the spot, you know. You let him sit back there and pat the ball, you know, he's going to find the open guy. You know, you have to get pressure up the middle on Tom Brady. And the few times that I played against him and we had success against him, we had like a lot of double A gap blitzes and we pushed the middle of the pocket and made it really uncomfortable for him.
So he does get rattled when he gets hit, right?
Right. Even if you don't sack him, you just touch him, you know, it messes him up. So you just have to find a way to just keep being a nag, like a little fly to just in someone's ear. You just have to be annoying to him all game, and that really pisses him off. But if you give him time with all those weapons, he got Gronk, he got Chris Godwin, he got Mike Evans, you got AB.
Yeah, Mike Evans.
The running back is a hell of a player, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah,
they got a lot of weapons. So if you give him time, he's gonna pick you up. Yeah.
And Antonio Brown too. I mean, they got a lot of freaking weapons. Mike Evans bothers me because he's a big, big guy. But what was
well? Hopefully, he could come back from that injury.
He had
a bad knee injury.
Fingers crossed.
I think he had a knee extension.
Oh, today?
Yeah, it was a non-contact injury too.
I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, he got carted off.
For our sake, I hope he's out.
Yeah. One of the bright spots for that the Washington defense, not only is that front line, but the DBs, Kendall Fuller's having himself a heck of a year, and Cameron Curl is playing his ass off.
Yeah, that's
right.
The safety,
it's been
right?
Different. They've had some studs stepped up and played and, you know, can make plays against a Tom Brady who might, with all the study he does, he looks for tendencies, right? Looks at the guys. I don't think that you can glean a tendency off of a Cameron Curl yet because, you know, as much tape as you want to look at, right, he's just a different cat and he's making instinctive moves, right?
Yeah, but, you know, the one thing that I feel like a lot of defensive coordinators try and do with Brady, but he's seen it all, is they try to do a lot of disguise and coverage. So you just got to – you can't get too cute with disguising and then someone forgets their assignment, but if you could show something – that's really not what you're playing and play something else after the ball is snapped, you know, it'll definitely confuse them. And as long as that defensive line can get after them, you know, you can switch it up on the back end, but you have to be on the same page every play because as soon as you make that mistake, Brady's going to find that open person.
Does Tom Brady really complain to the refs as much as people like to talk
hell
about?
Hell yeah, dude. Watch the game.
To hear it from you or from basically anybody who's actually played him.
Oh man, he's always come on.
Oh, God, he's such a crybaby.
He goes after those reps. If he throws that ball and his receiver's falling on the ground, he's calling for a pass interference. He's pissed that he didn't get that call. So God. He definitely goes after the ref, man.
Okay, so your call, and I know it's going to be a call from the heart, but you have the Washington defense, which is really good, top three in the league, top two against the pass, against Tampa Bay. The big question mark is what kind of offense, what kind of quarterback is going to be under center for Washington. But what's your gut tell you about a team coming to FedEx Field? And while I'd like to say that's great, It's never been a great spot for home field advantage, and there's no fans anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. So what's your call next Saturday?
Hey, I'm going Washington with the win. You know, we've come close the last couple of times, and this has been the year of the underdog winning a lot of games.
Yeah.
And I feel like with the hungry defense that we have, we're going to come up with those key stops and find a way to beat Tampa. Our defense is hungry. Our defensive line is probably something that Tampa Bay really hasn't seen all year, outside of when they probably played the Saints, but they don't have four dogs up front. You've already got to worry about one or two. So hopefully we can get it done up front and get after Brady and make him frustrated. And then on the other hand, hopefully we can run the ball down Tampa's throat. But they have a really good defense too, with those linebackers, Levante David and the other kid. Mm-hmm. And they also have a good front four too. So it'll be, you know, a good game of a good battle of the defenses, and hopefully we could come out on top.
I like it. Fred Smoot doing his best impression of Doug Peterson's brain and is missing an accent.
So there you go.
I'm gonna tell Fred that you showed up and he didn't. He did this one other time. We had Chad Ochocinco. Who came in for the pregame show. Okay, Child Please. He came in for the pregame show, and Fred showed up at the very end when we'd already said goodbye to Chad. And Fred did not believe that Chad had come on the show, and we had to show him video of him on the show. And he's like, oh he did come. I'm like, you dog. Fake, man, I really appreciate your time. I'm glad that you're adjusting to life after football well. You're always one of the smarter guys in that locker room. So I really appreciate it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
On
Saturday. Hey, one last question. Yep. Do I look Amish?
Oh boy.
Oh hell no.
Thank you. Thank you. They call me Amish, and even Jason Campbell said this is an Amish beard, but I don't see that. So I just needed that validation from you. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Amish.
Thank you.
Do you know how much weed Baker has smoked in his life?
That's irrelevant to me.
He doesn't know.
That's irrelevant to me. That's irrelevant to me.
Enjoy the gummies.
I don't think you're Amish.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Whatever. Hey, man, great to see you, dog. Appreciate your time, and hopefully we can do this again.
Oh, definitely, man. Thanks for having me. Make me a regular, man. I need something to do.
All right, cool. Have fun. We can curse and everything. It's awesome. All right, that's Chris Baker. Appreciate you, dog. Love it.
Peace out.
All right, that's Chris Baker, Swaggy. Mm-hmm. Very cool. That was cool. Very cool. I know he's a guy who came into the league undrafted, as he said, and then kind of just became he worked his ass off hard and started to make plays, and then was making a lot of plays and forced the team to give him a contract. And then he played two more years, and then went off to Tampa. He's a really good dude. You know, you go into a locker room, NFL locker room, you'd like to be able to talk to all 52, 53 players without thinking about it. But you get into the locker room and you find the guys who don't want to talk to you, some guys who will talk but begrudgingly and won't give you crap. Then you get the intelligent guys who know how to play the game on the field in order to play the game in the locker room. And it's not really a game. They just want to they're enjoying their job and you're enjoying your job. And so you start to have these conversations. And so he was one of those go-to guys in the locker room. He'd give you some funny stuff and give you some serious stuff. He was always one of my favorites to cover.
You always appreciate those people who are willing to, who understand exactly what you just said of playing on and off the field and know speaking to the media benefits you, but it's also the people who are genuine about it, you know, because there are some people who just kind of fake it, but then there are people like him who you can just tell that they're just genuine good people, like big difference.
Fred Smoot was supposed to be here, ladies and gentlemen, but his time was needed elsewhere. Once again, the Washington football team said, no, Fred, we want to use you first. And so that's what happens when Fred doesn't show up, is the Washington football team media folks get a hold of him. Funny how that happens now and again.
Yeah. Now and again. I think it's more often than that.
Yeah. So what the heck? We'd love to have heard from Fred. I'm sure that he's had an internal alcohol rub during the back half of this game. But what the hell? So that's it for Chicken Smoot. I don't know what next week. Next week is 8 o'clock game. Actually, I should be okay because So we'll be good to go. Whether or not we do that from home again or from this restaurant, we'll see. We have to make a decision on that. Because August usually closes at nighttime, and nobody wants to get home at 1 o'clock in the morning these days and hang out. You know, so see, this kind of worked out well, pre-game and post-game.
Yep.
No atmosphere, right?
Yep.
Just talking heads, but and no eyebrows. You didn't bring your eyebrows, which
I didn't, but I will at some point. I was going to bring him for halftime, but yeah, didn't happen. Triggered.
Yeah, people just listening to us going, what the hell are these guys talking about?
Yep.
All right, man, that is Cy Fumic. I'm Chick Hernandez. Fred Smoot was a no-show tonight, but the Washington football team did show up at least enough to get the victory. They are NFC East champions with 7 wins. They get to host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady next Saturday night live at 8:15.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.